Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Ummah Radio. You are listening to the Aqeedah class with myself, Abu Mus'ab. Okay, for those who've been following the forum, this is a new class that just started last week, Monday, and it's being used alternatingly with a hadith class, which is still to start. But for last week, we only did an introduction to the science of Aqeedah. And this week, we will actually be doing a little bit of Aqeedah itself, just the basics. And so that next week, inshallah, we will do an introduction to the hadith, which will be the Shama'il al-Tirmidhi. And after that, we will begin the actual kitab itself. And then we can choose a different, more in-depth kitab for Aqeedah. But that's why I said the first actual class, we want to do just the basic Aqeedah that, as you can say, is unanimous amongst all the ulama. So, once again, if you have any questions, you can post it on Ummah forum, www.ummah.com/forum, and there you can see the thread in the Ummah radio section. There will be one called Monday-Aqeedah Hadith class, and you can post your questions in there if you have any. Alternatively, we've got a Skype account. The username is Ummah Radio, and you can send your questions in there as well. So whichever way you prefer to send your questions in, if you have any, that's the way you can go about doing it. Okay, now coming to the actual lesson itself. I mentioned in the thread on ummah.com that the link download is in there in the very first post. You can go check quickly if you have not downloaded it, and you can download it in the meantime. It's very small. I mentioned that the first kitab which we will be doing is one by the name of Al-Aqeedatul Murshidah. It's a very small, in fact, it's only basically one page of Aqeedah. Like I said, it's simply the basics. But many people don't know the basics. So I said, let's start out from the beginning, and we can work our way up from there. So this kitab, Al-Aqeedatul Murshidah, if you download it there, you'll notice this book has actually two pages. But the first page is not actually the kitab itself. It's more about the author, who is the author, and then a bit on Imam Ibn Asakir, rahimahullah, and then Imam Tajuddin al-Subki, what he has said, comments basically on Aqeedah al-Murshidah and how it is, as you can say, an accepted Aqeedah amongst the Muslims. So those of you who've got the kitab, you can follow it up from the kitab itself. And for those of you who don't have the kitab, you can then just listen in, because I will explain it as we go along, inshallah. Like I say, it's very simple. It shouldn't take us more than a couple of minutes to do the entire kitab. So without further ado, Bismillah walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. The actual kitab says here, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Al-Aqeedah al-Murshidah, Alhamdulillahi wa sallallahu wa sallam ala rasulillahi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa ba'ad. This is now not actual or part of the kitab itself. This, like I say, is added in by the people who have compiled the book here, this Darul Fatwa, the Islamic High Council of Australia. They have put this additional part into this PDF document. But the actual kitab starts year from the second last line of page 1, or rather from the very last line of page 1. But I read from the second last line. He said, ثم قال التاج السبكي, Imam التاج السبكي رحمه الله, he said, ونحن نرى أن نسوق هذه العقيدة المرشدة وهي. Imam السبكي, if you read the whole page here above, he talked about Imam السبكي رحمه الله, where he talked about how accepted is this kitab, basically the beliefs of the Ahlul Sunnah, which is mentioned within it, and how we want to also give out the kitab as well. And then he say, wahiya, and this Aqeedah al-Murshidah, it is. And from here the kitab starts. He says, اعلم أرشدنا الله وإياك أنه يجب على كل مكلف أن يعلم أن الله عز وجل واحد في ملكه. He says, no, may Allah guide me and you that it is obligatory upon every mukallaf. Mukallaf means every person who is sane and has reached puberty, and who the da'wah of the message of Islam has reached. So each and every single person who puts these categories, he is considered these conditions, he is considered a mukallaf, and therefore it is obligatory upon him to know this. Now, basically, in order to, it is necessary for each and every single person to be a Muslim, and who, obviously, like I say, who is sane, who is baligh, meaning he is an, you can say, an adult, he has reached puberty, and the message of Islam has reached him. So he has to accept Allah, and this is what comes with it. So he says, may Allah guide me and you. You should know that it is obligatory upon every sane adult, or rather every sane baligh person who the message of Islam has reached, to know that Allah Azza wa Jal is one in his kingship. Allah has no partners. So he says, خَلَقَ الْعَالَمَ بِأَسْرِهِ الْعُلْوِيَّةِ وَالسُّفْلِيَّةِ. He has created the world, or rather the universe, the worlds in its entirety. الْعُلْوِيَّةِ, all those things which are high, as you can say, the celestial bodies and things like that. وَالسُّفْلِيَّةِ, and all those things which are low as well. وَالْعَرْشَ وَالْكُرْسِيَّةِ, and the arsh, the throne. وَالْكُرْسِي, and as the kursi is normally translated as the footstool. So the throne and the footstool. وَالسَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ, and the heavens and the earth. وَمَا فِيهِمَا وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, what is within the heavens and the earth, and what is between the heavens and the earth. Every single last thing has been created by Allah. This is all part of the belief that each and every single person must have. He continues, he says, جَمِيعُ الْخَلَائِقِ مَقْهُورُونَ بِقُدْرَتِهِ, that all of creation is subjugated by his power. لَا تَتَحَرَّكُ ذَرَّةٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ, not an atom moves except with his permission. لَيْسَ مَعَهُ مُدَبِّرٌ فِي الْخَلْقِ وَلَا شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ, he does not have any designer with him in creation, nor any partner in his kingdom. Meaning that Allah created every single thing in existence all alone. There was nobody else who said, okay, make the sky blue and the grass green, nothing. Allah created every single last thing alone, without anybody's opinion or input or anything. And neither are there any partners, like our the Christian belief about the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and how the Mushrikeen believe in Hanuman and Ganesh and Kali and all the 100 other gods that they've got there. So Allah has no other part, no partner whatsoever. Everything belongs to Allah, and Allah has no partner. He continues, he says, Hayyun Qayyum, Allah is alive and eternal, everlasting. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم, neither sleep nor slumber overtakes him. عالم الغيب والشهادة, he is the knower of the unseen and that which is apparent as well. لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء, nothing in the heavens or the earth is hidden from him. ويعلم ما في البر والبحر, وما تسقط من ورقة إلا يعلمها, ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. Allah knows, or rather, to try to keep it more literal, verbatim, and He knows what is in the land and what is in the sea, and not a leaf falls except that He knows about it, and no seed in the darkness of the earth, and nor anything wet or dry, except that it is in a clear manifest book. And this book which is being referred to is the Lawh-i Mahfuz, which is translated as the protected tablet. On this Lawh-i Mahfuz is where the entire, as you can say, the entire creation is recorded on that sacred protected tablet. So this is what is being meant. And all the parts here from لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم, right until you'll see فعال لما يريد, all of this are portions of ayat from the Quran. So continuing at the end of this ayah, then the next part continues, أحاط بكل شيء علما, he encompasses everything with his knowledge. Every single last thing in existence is within the knowledge of Allah. There is nothing at all that exists outside the knowledge of Allah. Next part, وَأَحْصَى كُلَّ شَيْءٍ عَدَدًا. And Allah has enumerated everything in number, meaning then you may see a swarm of ants running there, but Allah knows exactly how many ants there are. Or you see a desert full of sand, and Allah knows exactly how many grains of sand there are. And this is true for every single last thing in existence. The stars in the sky, and the planets, and the things that we know about and we don't know about, Allah knows the number of each and every single last thing. Continues, فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. Allah does whatever He intends. Whatever Allah intends to do, Allah does it. There is nobody who can stop Allah from doing anything. قَادِرٌ عَلَى مَا يَشَاءُ. He is all-powerful upon whatever He wishes. Meaning, whatever Allah wants to do, Allah can do it. Allah has the capability to do it. There is nobody who can restrict Allah. لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْغِنَى. To Him belongs ownership, and to Him belongs all independence. وَلَهُ الْعِزُّ وَالْبَقَاءُ. And honor belongs to Allah, and eternity and everlastingness belongs to Allah. Meaning Allah is everlasting, and Allah is the most honorable. وَلَهُ الْحُكْمُ وَالْقَضَاءُ. And rule, meaning to make rules, and to be the ruler, and وَالْقَضَاءُ and judgment. Both of this belongs to Allah. وَلَهُ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. And to Him belongs the beautiful names. لَا دَافِعَ لِمَا قَضَى. There is no repeller for what He has ordained. وَلَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَى. And nor any preventer for that which He has given. Meaning if Allah ordains something, then definitely it will come to pass, and there is nobody who can repel the decision of Allah. وَلَا مَانِعَ لِمَا أَعْطَى. And what Allah has given, there is nobody who can prevent it. If Allah wants to give you good, there is nobody who can prevent it and say, no, you can't have it, or anyone who can take it away from you. Continuing, he says, يَفْعَلُ فِي مُلْكِهِ مَا يُرِيدُ. He does in his kingdom whatever he wants. وَيَحْكُمُ فِي خَلْقِهِ بِمَا يَشَاءُ. And he rules over his creation, in his creation, as he with what he wishes, meaning as Allah decides, that is how things will be. There is nobody else who can come and have any say in the matter where anything Allah does is concerned. Nobody can say, no, you can't do this, or why you give him money and not me, and things like that. Nothing whatsoever. Allah does whatever Allah wants, and nobody else has a say in the matter. لا يرجو ثوابا ولا يخاف عقابا. He does not hope for reward, nor does he fear any retribution. Meaning, when we do something good, then we hope for reward. And when we do something bad, then we fear for punishment. But there is no higher being than Allah. As you can say, we are accountable to Allah, but Allah is accountable to none. So, Allah does not hope for reward from anybody, nor does Allah fear punishment from anybody, because there is nobody who can take even question Allah on any single thing. Continuing, he says, لَيْسَ عَلَيْهِ حَقٌ يُلْزِمُهُ وَلَا عَلَيْهِ حُقٌ. That no, there is no right upon Allah which obligates Allah to do something. This is, for instance, when Allah says that it is the right and or the duty of Allah to help someone, and it does not mean that Allah is forced now to do this. Or to give it another example, I maybe do a lot of good in my life, so that does not mean that now Allah is obligated to do good in return to me. So there is no right upon, as you can say, no one has any right over Allah to force Allah to do anything. Allah does what He wants, regardless of what anybody else feels. وَلَا عَلَيَّ حُكْمٌ. And nor is there any rule over Allah. Meaning no one can put rules down for Allah and say, no, you have to do this and you have to do that, or you can't do this and you can't do that. Nothing of the sort. Allah is the rule maker, and nobody makes rules for Allah. Continuing, he says, وَكُلُّ نِعْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ فَضْلٍ وَكُلُّ نِقْمَةٍ مِّنْهُ عَدْلٍ. And every favor, every benefit, every bounty that Allah gives, it is from the grace of Allah. وكل نقمة منه عدل. And every punishment Allah gives, it is justice. Meaning when Allah gives you something good, then that is from the grace of Allah. And we have actually not deserved this kindness of Allah that Allah has done to us. وكل نقمة منه عدل. And whenever Allah punishes us, then that is from the justice of Allah that Allah punishes us. There is no injustice whatsoever where Allah is concerned. If we are punished, then we deserve the punishment. But Allah does not oppress or treat anyone unjustly whatsoever. Continuing, he says, لَا يُسْأَلُ عَمَّا يَفَعَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. This is from an ayah in the Quran where Allah says that He will not be asked what He does, meaning that nobody will ask Allah about what Allah does. But rather, وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ, but rather they, meaning the people, they are the ones who will be answerable. Meaning, Allah will question them, they will not question Allah. مَوْجُودٌ قَبْلَ الْخَلْقِ. Allah was existing before creation. لَيْسَ لَهُ قَبْلٌ وَلَا بَعْدٌ. He has no beginning, nor any end. وَلَا فَوْقٌ وَلَا تَحْتٌ. No above, no anything below. وَلَا يَمِينٌ وَلَا شِمَالٌ. No any right, no any left. وَلَا أَمَامٌ وَلَا خَلْفٌ. No in front and no any behind. This whole part here of no up, no down, no left, no right, no front, no back. This is to show that Allah is not restricted in a place. These are the six directions. And as it is mentioned in Aqidat al-Tahawiyah, that Allah is not restricted to the six directions. لا تحويه الجهات الست كسائر المبتدعات. The six directions do not contain Allah like the rest of created matters. So here, likewise, the same is mentioned, that Allah has no above, no below, no left, no right, no front, no back. Meaning all these things are what applies to created things, and it does not apply to Allah at all. Continuing, he says, وَلَا كُلٌ وَلَا بَعْضٌ. No whole and no portion. Meaning that there is no whole, as you can say, a part of Allah. You know, this is the whole Allah and this is a part of Allah, things like this. As you can say, Allah is Allah. There is no divisions. You can't get a half and a quarter and an extra piece and things like that. A piece of Allah coming to you, all that sort of things like that. Offspring of God, none of these type of things can take place. وَلَا كُلٌ وَلَا بَعْضٌ. No whole and no part. Allah is Allah and that's it. وَلَا يُقَالُ مَتَى كَانَ وَلَا أَيْنَ كَانَ وَلَا كَيْفٌ. And it is not said about Allah that مَتَى كَانَ, when was He? Meaning that when did Allah come about or any of these type of things. The word when is not applied to Allah. وَلَا أَيْنَ كَانَ, nor is the term where is Allah, this also should not be used. وَلَا كَيْفٌ, nor should the word how be used for Allah. We know the famous story where a man came to Imam Malik rahimahullah and he says, الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى كَيْفَ اسْتَوَى. He used this word كَيْف. That the ayah says, الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى, which people translate as, and the Almighty has risen above the throne. So the man said, this is what the ayah says, but how did this istawa, this rising, take place? Then Imam Malik rahimahullah told him that to believe in it is obligatory and to ask about it is an innovation and, you know, till the end of it. And then he had the man expelled from the masjid. So it's this word, wala kayf, this howness, we do not apply, or rather we do not ask how about Allah. Like when Allah mentions that He has a yad, a hand, or a face, or any of these other things, we do not ask or attribute a how to it, that it's like this or it's like that. We just leave the knowledge of that to Allah, and we just say we believe in it as Allah has mentioned, without delving into it whatsoever. Continuing, he says, kana wala makan. Allah existed and there was no place. And this is something I spoke on a bit of a while back, when I reference the hadith from Bukhari, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Kana Allahu wa lam yakun shay'un ghayruhu," that Allah existed and nothing whatsoever else existed. So, wala makan, makan, place is also something which Allah has created. Time, Allah has created. Place, Allah has created. And every single last thing else Allah has created. So, Allah existed before Allah created place. Because place, if you say place always existed, then you are attributing a partner to Allah, because who created place then if Allah did not create it, if place was all the time just existing? So that's why he says that Allah existed while there was no place, meaning that Allah exists without time and without place. Continuing on, he says, كَوَّنَ الْأَكْوَانِ, he has fashioned the creation, وَدَبَّرَ الزَّمَانِ, and organized and set out the time. لا يتقيد بالزمان ولا يتخصص بالمكان, he is not bound to time nor is he restricted to any place. And this is again something which I spoke in the last one of the other previous question and answer sessions, when somebody was asking about the question that where is Allah. So here he says that Allah is not restricted to any place, and this was mentioned just a couple of lines earlier where he was speaking about there is no above, no below, no left, no right. All these sorts of things here, it's only for creation who are restricted by these things. And Allah is the creator of these things, so Allah is not restricted by His creation. He continues and he says, وَلَا يُشْغِلُهُ شَأْنٌ عَنْ شَأْنٌ, and one matter does not distract Him from another. Meaning that Allah, like for us, if we are writing something, we can't, as you can say, you can't drive and can't write, or you can't do multiple things at once, otherwise you get distracted. You're listening to a lecture and you're working at the same time, many times it goes into the background and you miss pieces from the lecture or miss what you are doing if you're focusing too much on the lecture again. But Allah does and sees to the entire world all at once, and not one thing distracts Allah from another. Continuing, he says, وَلَا يُلْحِقُهُ وَهْمٌ, the imagination of people cannot reach Allah, meaning you cannot comprehend Allah in your with your imagination. And the rest of the following sentences is all the same thing, just, well, as you can say, it's all the different synonyms. He says, continuing, وَلَا يَفْتَنِفُهُ عَقْلٌ, he cannot be encompassed by your intelligence. وَلَا يَتَخَصَّصُ بِذِهْنٍ, nor can he be understood or restricted by your mind. Meaning whatever your mind conjures up or you see in your mind and everything, you cannot understand Allah through your mind and your imagination and your intelligence and your brains and everything. It counts for nothing. That's why one of the imma of the past, they said, مَهْمَا تَصَوَّرْتَ بِبَالِكَ فَاللَّهُ بِخِلَافِ ذَلِكَ, that whatever you imagine in your mind, then Allah is different to that. Meaning, when you conjure up some picture in your mind, then know that Allah is not like that picture that you have in your mind. Some people, they come from maybe a Christian background, so for them, when they used to think of God as a Christian, then they think of an old man with a white beard in white robes and things like that. So sometimes they accept Islam and these concepts still exist within their mind. So when they are thinking about Allah, then this picture pops up in their mind about an old man and things like this, then this statement means, then, مَهْمَا تَصَوَّرْتَ بِبَالِكَ فَاللَّهُ بِخِلَافِ ذَلِكَ, that whatever your mind conjures up, Allah is not like that. So coming back again, he says, وَلَا يَتَمَثَّلُ فِي النَّفْسِ, he cannot be envisaged by a person's mind. And this is basically what we were speaking about now. He says, وَلَا يُتَصَوَّرُ فِي الْوَهْمِ, like I said, all of this is synonyms. وَلَا يُتَصَوَّرُ فِي الْوَهْمِ, he cannot be conceived by your imagination. وَلَا يَتَكَيَّفُ فِي الْعَقْلِ, nor can he be formed or understood by your mind and your intelligence. Like I said, this sentence and the one before it and the one before it and even the three before that, they're all very similar in meaning. But basically it means that no matter what you do, your intelligence and your mind and cannot comprehend Allah, and whatever your mind does try and picture out, Allah is not like that. To continue, he says, لا تلحقه الأوهام والأفكار, your imaginations and your thoughts cannot reach and comprehend Allah. ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير. There is nothing like unto him, and he is the all-hearing, all-seeing. And that is basically the end of Al-Aqidatul Murshida, this kitab Al-Aqidatul Murshida. And this last line is basically Imam Tajuddin As-Subki, rahimahullah, commenting, and he says, هذا آخر العقيدة وليس فيها ما ينكره سني. Imam Tajuddin As-Subki, rahimahullah, he commented and he said, this is the end of Al-Aqidah, of the Aqidatul Murshida. وليس فيها ما ينكره سني, and there is nothing within this Aqidah which a Sunni rejects. So if you find you are rejecting something within here, then you must know that there is something wrong with you, because this is the Aqidah of the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Like I said in the beginning when we started, that the Aqidah of the Ahlu Sunnah, as mentioned in this kitab, similar to like Al-Aqidah al-Tahawiyah of Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, it's accepted by the entire Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because it's the unanimous principles that everyone agrees on. And this is basically all the Aqidah a person needs in order to attain salvation. You do not need to overindulge in all the philosophical debates and things like that. If you, as a simple person, you stick to exactly what is mentioned in this kitab here, like this, without anthropomorphism or rejecting the attributes of Allah, and you just restrict, you believe in everything like how it comes, without adding your own interpretation and your own explanations and things onto it, then that is alone sufficient for you to attain salvation in the year after. So that is what Al-Aqidatul Murshida, the basic beliefs of every single Muslim, if you want to put it in that manner. So, like I said, this was basically all we were planning on doing tonight. It was a simple kitab, simple and easy to understand, simple to teach, and no one should have any difficulty understanding it or having any problem believing in any of these things here that is mentioned in this kitab. And okay, so with that being said and done, we are now done with Al-Aqidatul Murshida. And like I mentioned, next week inshallah we will do the introduction to the kitab Ash-Shama'ilul Muhammadiyya, which is better known as Ash-Shama'ilul Tirmidhi of Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah. Once again, the thread is on Ummah Forum in the Ummah Radio section by the name of Monday-Aqidah Hadith Class. And in there, you will find the link to download not only the Aqidatul Murshida, but the link to download the Ash-Shama'ilul Muhammadiyya is in there as well, the Shama'ilul Tirmidhi. So you can download both kitabs there. So next week, inshallah, we will do just the introduction to Ash-Shama'ilul Tirmidhi, and just, as you can say, like the starting the introductory ahadith to the kitab. And from there, the week thereafter, we will do 1 week Aqidah, and the next week hadith, back to Aqidah and back to hadith, and in that manner we will continue for Mondays. But it was just last week which was an introduction, and this week which was the first official lesson. So next week will be the small introduction about who Imam At-Tirmidhi rahimahullah is, and what the Shama'ilul Muhammadiyya consists of, and things like that. A short introduction quickly, and then without delaying we will start the kitab and do a couple of ahadith there with the explanation and things like that. And then, but anyway, all of those things will be explained in next week, Monday, inshallah. For now, this was all that we were focusing on for tonight. And a new book of Aqidah will be chosen. I will look and see which one would be the best to do to explain certain extra additional matters. Because there are many things of Aqidah, not only necessarily relating to beliefs, like this, that what you have to believe, but there are also those things that is not permissible to believe. Like, for instance, what things are kufr and put you outside the fold of Islam. Things like that are also of the utmost importance as well. Because if you do not know what kufr is, you may not know that you may yourself be doing, committing acts of kufr. So, that's also something which will be dealt with in the future. So, I will have a look at the kitabs. Perhaps we may move on to Aqidatul Tahawiyyah as it's much more detailed than Al-Aqidat al-Murshida. It contains a lot more information than this, but that we will come to in due time. Like I say, next week, inshallah, we will start with Al-Shama'il al-Muhammadiyya. And in the, when I do decide on what kitab of Aqidah we will continue on with, I will then post a download link in the thread on Ummah Forum, that same Monday Aqidah Hadith class, and then everybody will be able to download it from there, inshallah. So on that point, we will end here for tonight without extra delays or anything. And then we'll see you again tomorrow night, inshallah, for the Hanafi fiqh class, which we are still doing, Al-Hidayah, which is a sharah of Bidayatul Mubtadi of Imam Al-Marghinani, rahimahullah. So upon that point, we will end and we say, wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.